An American pastor issues a stern warning. Is anybody listening?
And I do want to make this prediction this morning. If the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, I'm afraid it will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation from which this country will never heal.
Thank you for joining Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today, Jan features one of our most popular guests, Michelle Bachmann, U.S. House of Representatives, member from Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, and presidential candidate in 2012. Jan and Michelle discuss some cutting-edge issues this hour. Please stay tuned. Here's Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. Glad you can join me today. And you know that every so often I bring into the studios of Understanding the Times Radio Michelle Bachmann. She served Minnesota's 6th District in the House of Representatives starting in 2007, stepped down a few years ago, ran for president in 2012. Michelle, so glad you could swing by the studio today. Thank you.
Thank you. It's going to be fun to be with you,
Michelle,
this hour.
Listen, when you were running for president, and the country was in a mess at that time. We had a president who loved socialism. He began the fundamental transformation of America. And I'm sure, nonetheless, you could not imagine when you were running for president in 2012, what politics would look like the fall of 2019. And you and I have been talking about that. And you just made a statement to me a few minutes ago. You implied Satan is cheering. Why don't you explain what you mean by that?
From the Bible, we know the end time scenario, that Satan intends to have a one world government, a one world religion, where all people, if we want to buy or sell, we are controlled by a one world system. I think that Satan desired to have this done a long time ago.
And he thought he was on the road to victory.
I think he was. But it seems now like you can almost hear the demons of hell screaming, because their plans have been thwarted over and over and over again. That's not to talk about politics, that politics determines that. This is a spiritual issue you and I are talking about. But he hasn't been able to be successful. And I think in large measure, it has to do with the fact that believers in the God of the Bible are taking God at his word. They're praying. They're crying out to him. And we know that God says that his joy would be that all people would be saved. And that is our admonition, to pray for the salvation for every person on this earth.
Donald Trump recently said, make no mistake, they're not after me, they're after you. They're after your guns, they're after your Christian values, your freedom, and I'm just in the way. Is there any truth to that?
Well, there's no question. All you have to do is listen to the statements of those that are running for office in 2020. They've made it very clear. Beto O'Rourke, who's running for president, said he's coming to take your guns. This has been very clear that our basic Bill of Rights, the 10 rights that the founders gave us, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, the right to keep and bear arms, all of these freedoms are now under attack, including the rule of law itself and due process under law. The left wants to deny that even to President Trump. They want to deny him due process of law. Yeah. So, yes, I think that we're seeing that.
For almost 3 years, I mean, there was this Russian collusion delusion, and now there's this...
Proven to be a fake.
Exactly.
That's one thing people need to understand.
That's right.
This whole Russia thing was actually perpetrated by the Obama administration themselves. Members of the Obama administration had worked with Russia, and they had put spies in Donald Trump's campaign with the United States government, with the FBI, to spy, to accuse Donald Trump of interfering with the election, when in fact it was just the opposite.
Yes.
The Obama administration was guilty, is guilty, of interfering with the 2016 election through Russia. Now, that was all proven to be a lie. The floor fell out of the phony Russia story. Now we've got an even greater,
now we've got a greater
deception.
And that is this impeachment fever. And this is driven, I think, by the so-called deep state, both sides of the aisle. Let me just read a couple of sentences here. Fox Nation recently, Todd Starnes, who now is no longer with Fox, actually had sort of a panel featuring Franklin Graham, Mike Huckabee, Robert Jeffress. Quoting them here, America's at a crossroads, socialism is on the rise, the Bill of Rights is under assault, and people of faith are facing persecution, Todd Starnes told listeners in the broadcast. Gun owners are in the crosshairs Our borders have been breached. Our public schools have been turned into indoctrination centers. A leftist mob made up of socialist politicians, academic elites, raging feminists, and basement-dwelling pajama boys have partnered with Antifa, illegal aliens, and other radical groups to finish what President Obama started, a fundamental transformation of our nation. I find what's going on, Michelle, and now we've got this impeachment fever, to be really troubling because, again, this is a bunch of fakery.
There's no case. It's absolutely provable on its face. Yeah. I mean, it isn't even up for argument because, again, what's been alleged? It's been alleged that Donald Trump, the President of the United States, had a phone call on July 25th of this year with the President of Ukraine for the purpose of pressuring the President of Ukraine to do an investigation on Joe Biden for the purpose of interfering with the election. That isn't at all what happened, and any of your listeners can read it. We actually have the transcript of that phone call. That transcript is available online for anyone to read. It didn't happen. As a matter of fact, what was most shocking of all, Adam Schiff, a man that I served in Congress with on the Intelligence Committee, who is now the chairman of the committee, actually read a fake narrative of this phone call. It was shocking. I was listening on the radio, and he read a fake version of what happened. They put false statements. They put them in Donald Trump's mouth. And here, the transcript had already been put out into the public. Then Adam Schiff said, oh, you're right. That's a parody. In other words, I'm just making fun out of it. The chairman of the Intelligence Committee does not make fun in a public setting while reading a phony story. This is important, Jan, that your listeners know this. I sat on this committee. It's right. A very unique special committee, the smallest committee in Congress. I was told I had to be extremely careful with every word I used in public because foreign nations listen to members of the intelligence community. They make decisions based on national security and foreign policy based on what we say. This was a hearing where all cameras and eyes were on Adam Schiff because of this impeachment inquiry. And he read a statement that he did not say was a parody. He stated it as though these were Donald Trump's words. He put lies into Donald Trump's mouth. So that's what is breathtaking about this right now, Jan. In front of the entire world, we're told that a lie is the truth, and the truth is a lie. We've never seen this level of lie before, and it's done for one reason. The left doesn't need an excuse to impeach Donald Trump. They can impeach him because they have the numbers. All they need is a simple majority, and they run the show in Congress. They just need to impeach him, as Democrat politicians have said, because otherwise they've said Donald Trump will win the presidency. And all the power that goes with that will go right into their hands. And then they can achieve their Marxist objectives.
We have some Marxists running for office on the other side of the aisle. You and I were talking about that.
And they're proud of it.
That's not considered a negative term for them.
And they're proud of it.
I think a few of them may fade out of the picture here. It's hard to believe Joe Biden is going to last because of some obvious issues. Bernie Sanders, I think, is going to fade out for some health reasons, perhaps. We've got Elizabeth Warren, who is another Marxist. Where do you see this 2020 election going? I'm not quite leaving impeachment yet, but I want to morph into kind of what's coming down the pike here. With some of these candidates, they line up on a stage for their debates, and it's like watching a row of Karl Marx's up there. It's rather terrifying.
Well, it is. As a matter of fact, I encourage your listeners, go download the Communist Manifesto. And essentially, those are the main points of the Democrat platform going into 2020. I'm not over-exaggerating. If you listen to Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, it's free everything.
That's right.
And of course, there's no free. If the government pays for something, it's going to be 20 times more expensive than if you pay for it yourself. She is completely unrealistic with what she's promising. It's impossible for her to ever be able to fulfill her promises. What's really quite frightening is the level of power and control she wants to take away from each person in their own life. She's going to take away our power, our control over our money, but also over our freedom. And they'll be making decisions that will even impact our faith.
Absolutely. There was recently...
And it's a weak list. I mean, you'd ask me about the 2020 lineup.
Yeah, please.
It's probably the weakest list of candidates I have ever seen on the Democrat Party's side. And we see that Bernie Sanders is faltering. Joe Biden is not going to be the candidate, I don't believe. If he is, he'll be easily defeatable. Elizabeth Warren is a college professor at Harvard College. She is a known liar. She got into Harvard by checking a box that she is a person of color. She's since been outed that that was a lie. So she lied to get in to be the first, quote, person of color on the Harvard faculty. And I think she'll have a very hard time getting the affirmation of the broader public to vote for her for president. They have a very weak lineup.
That's why many feel Hillary Clinton will make another effort at it last minute. She will step in to save the party. Rush has, he feels very strongly this is going to happen. Your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, if you would have asked me that even 3 months ago, I would have said you're out of your mind. There is absolutely no way Hillary Clinton would run. I mean, people are still stinging from that last race. She was a terrible candidate. But I do think that as weak as this current field is, I think the left would prop up Hillary in every way they had to get her to run because she wants it. And she would be willing to cooperate with the powers that be behind the scenes. And they'd put her in a wheelchair and roll her in to the wings, have a complete support system around her because she's known. She already has
ID. That's right.
And she's had strong support in some of the minority communities. And it wouldn't shock me to see her be the candidate this time
okay,
around.
Okay, but this is another Marxist. So this is not your grandparents' Democrat Party, folks. This is a lineup of blatant communists. We're being blunt here, okay? We don't have time to be anything
else.
And
she's a disciple of Saul Alinsky.
Absolutely.
Who wrote Rules for Radicals, and he dedicated his book to Lucifer.
Exactly
and
right.
And the same is true of Barack Obama. He was a disciple of Saul Alinsky, who wrote the book Rules for Radicals, dedicated to Lucifer. So there's a pattern here that we're drawing, and we aren't making this up.
Another pattern that's going on is we're losing some of our conservative media. You and I both know Fox has now been compromised, and that may be an understatement. We're aware of even Drudge Report, which has been sort of solid center-right for ever and ever, 20 years probably. You feel he's been bought out by somebody.
I'm really glad that you brought this up, because for your listeners, if they're at all concerned about trying to find the truth in news, they know they can't go to CNN. They can't go to MSNBC. Where are they going to go? They've gone to Fox. And historically, they felt like they could trust it. Now, a lot of people don't even feel like they can go to Fox anymore. It's taken a completely, almost Trump derangement syndrome view of the current sitting president. They don't even report realistically on the president. They go along with this same mindless deception of the impeachment view, which, again, on its face is obvious. And I think, as you had said, with throwing out Todd Starnes, that was a huge marker.
It is.
He did more of talking about what was impacting Christians and people of faith than anyone else. And he was thrown out over something that was said by Pastor Robert Jeffress. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable how hard left the Fox network has turned, but also the Drudge Report, which is one of the most read news sites in America. It was a center right, meaning it was mostly center with some right from a political leaning, but you felt like you could at least get some other headlines that weren't just completely irrational. Now on the Drudge Report, about 3 months ago, they took a hard left turn. Everything is anti-Trump. I mean, it's like if something goes wrong in the world, it's Trump's fault. And so then I ask you, where do your listeners go? Where do they go to read the news and find out where the truth is? It's getting harder and harder. You post your headlines every morning. That's a good place for people to check. That's getting tougher for you to find headlines that people can trust. I go to places like Breitbart News.
Breitbart remains pretty solid.
I go to the Gateway Pundit. It's just getting tougher and tougher. And I think that's where, again, our topic is also on deception. This massive deception that's being rolled out internationally, but here in the United States in particular, deception can not only live, but it can grow even among believers when the truth is absent.
Yeah.
And when you censor on Twitter and Facebook and the social media, and when you have social media websites like Drudge Report and Fox not reporting the truth anymore, then you can't really even blame believers for not knowing what's going on, because there's fewer and fewer places to go to find the truth.
I think Michelle, and I'm off my conference where I talk to hundreds of people, and I get hundreds and even thousands of email over time. What I'm hearing is righteous people are sick of hearing about dossiers and Russian collusion and calls for impeachment.
Because it was all a lie.
We're being called racist, Islamophobes, homophobes.
Yeah, we're
and
the problem.
Worse. People are, they're turning it off. They're just turning it off. They're turning other things.
Oh, because who can take it?
You can always go to Christian radio. Thank God for Christian radio. We air on lots of Christian radio. And there's some very good online sources. But you're right. The pickings are getting pretty slim as to where we can go that we can trust.
And it's depressing. Honestly, it creates just depression in the air for people because I think of Philippians 4. Whatsoever is good, lovely, just, of good report. Think on those things. If you look at the media today, it is just the opposite of Philippians 4. It's whatever is wrong, whatever is a lie, whatever is untrue. Those are the things that are being spoken. And for believers who we trade in truth, we believe in truth and we trade in truth, it's really tough to be a truth seeker when we don't have those forums to go to.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in the studio, as I try to do several times a year, Michelle Bachman. She served Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, starting 2007, and ran for president in 2012. We're talking about basically some issues of the day. Michelle, we just had the big United Nations meeting back in late September, and some incredible things happened at that particular meeting. And I want to talk about a few of those things that happened at that meeting, because I think the UN agenda was sort of set to go in another direction. As a matter of fact, it was going to go in the direction heavily of this whole fake religion of climate change. Donald Trump threw another curveball. Thank God for him and for what he did there. Talk to me a little bit about it, because at first I think we have to explain Greta, the fact that she came on the scene. That was her assignment, was to warn the world at the United Nations, again, late September, that we have only 11 years left. She's from Sweden. And by the way, she's now being called, I think, the successor to Jesus Christ or something. She's been sainted, in other words. Talk to me a little bit about Greta and then how Donald Trump came and threw this enormous curveball.
This was absolutely shocking to see all of the one worlders, the people who want to see a one world government and one world religion, that one world government would be through the UN, the one world economy would run through the UN, and the one world religion is climate change. That's the religion. And this Greta, this affable, sweet-looking little girl from Sweden, came to tell her story. Her story was to scream. She literally screamed from the podium at the world. And she castigated people in the world, saying that our generation has failed her generation because she said, according to her, the world is going to end in 11 years. All the ecosystems are going to fail. In other words, human beings, plants, animals are going to fail in 11 years. Now, just step back for a second and think about that statement. Really, the entire world is going to be dead in 11 years. And why is that? Because we have modern society with cars and factories and electricity. That's why it's going to fail. Instead, Donald Trump decided that the focus of the UN week, when all the heads of every country come to New York City for the UN week, Donald Trump decided he was going to have a different focus. He wasn't going to play the game. The game was to put the crown on Queen Greta and have her be the face of the new one world religion, climate change, and that all the nations of the world had to tax their people to death and send all their money to the UN. And then somehow, if the UN controlled the world's money supply, then the world wouldn't end in 11 years. The greatest extortion lie that there is. So Donald Trump said, we're not playing this game. He doesn't buy into the hoax. He said, we're going to focus on religious persecution. So instead, on the day when it was supposed to be about the climate summit, there was a huge summit, but it was about reality. It wasn't about the lie of climate change. It was about the truth of religious persecution.
Amen.
And as you know, this is the greatest religious persecution the world has ever seen. The greatest persecution Christians have ever had is right now. He put that focus light squarely on religious persecution and the persecution of Christians. And President Trump was giving speeches. Also, the Secretary General of the UN, Gutierrez, was giving speeches. That's what the cameras focused on, not on this fake one world religion of climate change, but on the truth of the problem with religious persecution. The next day, each head of their country is allowed to speak to the General Assembly. Donald Trump spoke. The whole world listened to hear what he would say. He gave one of the greatest speeches I have ever heard any president give at the United Nations. He talked about religious persecution. He talked about the importance of nations holding on to their sovereignty, the importance of Israel and Israel's right to exist. But he also said something no president has ever said at the UN. He said that abortion is not a human right. He went squarely to the issue at the UN that is almost held sacred. Now that's sick, but abortion is almost held sacred and money is tied to advancing abortion. Donald Trump went exactly in the opposite direction, nothing that his predecessor ever would have done. My phone blew up when that happened because the believing community, the pro-life community couldn't believe it. They said, we have never heard an American president or any world leader ever say at the UN a stronger pro-life statement. So not only is Donald Trump the most pro-life American president we've ever had, he gave the strongest pro-life message that has ever been spoken by a head of state at the United Nations. And he spoke out for the persecuted church. So what he accomplished at the United Nations was miraculous, not only just with his statements, but also the fact of what was de-emphasized. And that's this advancement of this one world religion through climate change.
This climate change agenda, and I have studied it, and I've even done DVD referring heavily to it. And the reason it is so troubling, first of all, just the practicality of what they would do to us. I mean, take us back virtually to the Middle Ages and no transportation and dictate what you can eat and what you...
Yeah, you aren't overstating it, Jan.
I know I'm not.
Because what they want to do is not only just tax us to levels we've never been taxed at, but they also want to say for you and all your listeners, you can't drive a car.
No.
You can't use very much electricity. You can't eat meat. You can't use plastic straws. We're going to tell you every aspect of your life, how you can live, and probably to the point of who can live and who can die.
But Michelle Bachmann, this is the mindset of much of the world.
It is.
This is not a fringe group. This is not 2% of the world thinking this way. This is the entire United Nations.
As a matter of fact, you're talking to someone who's been at the UN for 3 years.
Yes.
And I have been I've met with about 95 of the 193 ambassadors at the UN.
And this is what they believe.
Every single one of them talk about climate change. It is their number one, quote, priority. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I had one ambassador who was practically crying when I was in there because I asked all of them, how can I pray for you? Her prayer was, I want you to pray for climate change and pray for my country because we're going to be underwater. Well, I want to refer people to the book of Genesis. Read Genesis chapter 6 through Genesis chapter 9. There is nothing more clear, and I would encourage pastors to start preaching on this issue of climate change and God's view of climate change, because the very covenant was established by God and Noah. And that covenant was that sin was so gross in the world that God had to bring about judgment and that he had to bring about salvation. And from there came Abraham. And God put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of his covenant. And he said very clearly to the entire world, never again will there be judgment. Never again will the world be flooded. There will always be seed time. There will always be harvest. There will always be summer. There will always be winter. You can take it to the bank. That's God's word. And what is it that these frauds tell us with climate change? That the world's going to be flooded. Isn't it interesting? They aren't saying that it's going to be another catastrophe. They say that it's flooding. We're going to be flooded. God says we will never be flooded. And I want to challenge every pastor listening, would you please give a sermon on climate change and God's view of climate change? This isn't being political. This is being biblical. And I am begging the pastors who are listening, be biblical on issue after issue after issue. Be biblical because God's people are perishing because of lack of knowledge. And the greatest antidote to deception is knowledge. And so that's why we need the pulpits to prepare people with what the Bible says about truth.
See, we're in such a day of deception, Michelle. Such a day of
that's
deception
the point
and delusion.
Of our show today.
Yeah,
we are.
It's a day of deception people have exchanged the truth for a lie.
And the greatest example is this impeachment fraud,
yes.
Because it's an absolute lie that anybody can read the transcripts. It's a lie. They don't care. They just want to impeach.
They just want to impeach.
They don't care what the truth is. They just want to impeach because they see the raw politics or that Trump is going to win in 2020.
Right.
They have to defeat him because from my perspective, there's a pretty anti-biblical agenda that they want to put into place. And that's why Christians better wake up because, again, we're not being political. We're talking about what does the Bible say about these issues and are we going to choose a biblical way or an anti-biblical way?
Gary Bauer writes, the deep state cabal is not fiction. It is real. The rogues gallery includes James Comey, Andrew McCabe, John Brennan, James Clapper, Bruce and Nellie Orr, Peter Stroke, and others. In addition, there were many more strategically embedded and promoted during Obama's disastrous 8 years in the State Department, CIA, FBI, various other national security agencies. These hacks are leaking, sabotaging, conspiring, and lying to stop President Trump. They know he represents a mortal threat to their globalist schemes and their power. It is precisely because he is blowing the whistle on the corruption in D.C. that the left wants Trump destroyed. That corruption has made this one of the richest cities in America. At the same time, Middle and Main Street were left behind. They will fail, but it is going to be brutal. Fights that really matter are always brutal, nasty, and worth winning. Stand strong, Gary Bauer.
Well, it is brutal, and I think that's what everyone feels right now because it's nuts. If you read any media at all, everything is absolutely nuts. What's up is down. Mm. But I think probably the best example of this deception that's going on the inside is the fact that this fake whistleblower, he's not a whistleblower, he's a plant from John Brennan, the former corrupt head of the CIA under Obama. He put his henchmen in the Situation Room. You don't get more sensitive in the United States than the Situation Room in the White House. Here, Obama had one of his minions in that Situation Room specifically for the purpose of telling a lie from a vantage point of credibility. They've now been found to have no credibility, but if you're in the Situation Room, you're considered credible. But this is a lie, and everyone needs to know it.
Folks, don't go away. Michelle Bachman in studio with me, coming back in just a couple of minutes.
We love hearing from our listeners. Write us at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can always write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. All gifts are tax deductible. Thank you for investing in this ministry online, on air, at our conferences, and in print. We are going to remind you weekly that things are all falling into place. We will have CDs and DVDs available from our fall conference held September 21st near Minneapolis by late October. At Understanding the Times 2019, our speakers included Dr. Robert Jeffress, Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Jan Markell, and Lori Cardoza Moore. We are offering 6 messages on CD for $30 plus $6 shipping in the U.S. We also have 6 messages on DVD for $35 plus $6 shipping in the U.S. You can order safely online at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. The products are professionally packaged and suitable for gift giving. The DVDs are in high definition. They will help you understand the times and become watchmen on the wall.
that lies will increase, the deception will increase, the mocking and scoffing will increase. I don't like this. I would like to live where we could just live in reality and have fun and talk about the truth. But the people who control, the gatekeepers of our society, they don't want to traffic in truth anymore. The scripture is very clear that they pour truth out into the streets. In other words, truth wasn't valued in scripture. Truth isn't valued.
We know you lead busy lives. If you can't catch Understanding the Times Radio on your local radio station, catch the program electronically on our website, olivetreeviews.org, or oneplace.com, on the oneplace.com mobile app, or on our YouTube channel under Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries. There you will see images and video posted for those who are visual. Let's return to Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman.
But let me explain something to everyone, and this is what I want to do very, very quickly. This is not a serious attempt to impeach the president. This is, frankly, window dressing so the Democrats can say they're trying to impeach the president. Now, don't get me wrong. They're going to do everything they can to do it. But you got to have a reason. You can't just impeach a president because you don't like how the election turned out. And that's basically what we're dealing with. And the sad thing is, if this thing were to play out and they somehow could get 218 votes in the House of Representatives for an impeachment, you realize that doesn't mean he's thrown out of office. It then goes to the Senate. And the likelihood that the Senate, with a supermajority required, would dismiss this president is about 100,000 to 1. If you wonder, why are they doing it? It's just playing raw politics is why they're doing it. In the meantime, let me tell you what isn't getting done. While they're bothering with impeachment, we're not fixing our border. We're not stopping the killing of unborn children. We're not building infrastructure of roads and airports and bridges that we all desperately need regardless of our politics. We're not dealing with the health care issue. We're not doing anything that helps us be a stronger country. We're not building our economy better. So I just wonder, would you as the American people really think you'd like to have more of the folks who are ignoring some of the real issues we'd like to have resolved and instead want to spend all their time just chasing down this president that they still haven't gotten over having won the election?
And welcome back. Well, that was Mike Huckabee. Thought he expounded on that fairly adequately. I think we could probably move on from that, though I want to say just a word about some mocking and scoffing in just a minute. I don't want to dwell on Understanding the Times conference that just took place back on September 21st, but it was wonderful meeting so many of you, thousands of you, in fact, and we are going to have those CDs and DVDs available very soon. Check out our store, olivetreeviews.org. Give us a call. Get on our various newsletter lists to learn about some of those CDs and DVDs that will be available. It was wonderful meeting so many of you. Check out our social media. We're very active, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. As a matter of fact, our radio programming is now posted with visual images and video to YouTube under Jan Markell, Olive Tree Ministries. I have the privilege of having in studio Michelle Bachman for the hour. You know, she represented Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, starting in 07. I think you started under George W. Bush.
I did.
Yes, and I remember the day you started, and it seems like it was a week or two ago. Good reminder of how life does fly by. But, you know, we were talking a little bit off air, Michelle, about some of the scoffing and how, no matter what it is, if I don't care if it's biblical, whatever the topic is, of course, the left is pushing back, is making fun of us. Let me just play about a 10-second clip here. And you apprised me of this. It was Saturday Night Live. We've got Alec Baldwin here, who's actually impersonating the president. Alec Baldwin is supposedly talking to Mike Pence.
This is real parody, by the way.
Parody, mocking him. Hey, are you still waiting for Jesus to return? Go ahead, play that clip.
Hello, Big Mike. How's church going? You still waiting on what's-his-face to come back?
You mean Jesus, sir?
Yeah, that's what I'm sure.
This is serious stuff.
Anything that Saturday Night Live does, it follows the culture.
It follows the culture.
The memo went out last week that all of the media was going to be pro-impeachment. We're going to push this impeachment thing. So the one thing they understand is that the evangelical community is the reason why Donald Trump got elected. So they want to portray Donald Trump as though he takes evangelicals for granted and that he mocks them and that he himself is a hypocrite. I can tell you, I serve on the president's advisory group for the faith team. That is not at all Donald Trump. He is extremely respectful of believers, and he also has made our concerns his concerns and has advanced those like no other president we've ever had in the United States. But in this clip you just played, it shows a Donald Trump who doesn't understand Christianity. Mm-hmm. That's a lie. Who is a hypocrite about Christianity. That's a lie. But it also shows the mocking, that he's mocking Vice President Pence, assuming that Mike Pence is at church, because that's, of course, that's what Christians do all day long. We're in church. So he says that he's in church, and then he says, are you waiting for that guy? Who? Jesus? And of course, that was the right answer. And it's unbelievable. I saw that clip on YouTube, and I thought, this is exactly what the Bible speaks of. That exactly. In the last days, there will be mockers and scoffers. This is one more contemporary example of mocking and scoffing, and that's what I wanted your listeners to know. Expect more of this. We're not going to see less. We're going to see more. The lies will increase. The deception will increase. The mocking and scoffing will increase. I don't like this. I would like to live where we could just live in reality and have fun and talk about the truth. But the people who control, the gatekeepers of our society, they don't want to traffic in truth anymore. The scripture is very clear that they poured truth out into the streets. In other words, truth wasn't valued in scripture. Truth isn't valued because, like Governor Huckabee said, what's valued is that the political left holds power and they will straight up lie, and the media will advance the lie without questioning it knowingly so that they can get returned to the keys of power. And the mocking and the scoffing goes along with that, because what they're saying is how they really feel about you and me and the listeners. The left hates us.
Yeah.
They hate your listeners. And the Jesus that we serve is not one that they lift up.
Very well stated, Michelle. Why don't we spend a few minutes here looking at one thing that's extremely almost ironically sad, is that we've got a leader in America who's under tremendous attack. We've got a leader in Israel who can't even fully get elected. They've just gone through election number two. They may have election number three in Israel. Bibi Netanyahu, longest serving prime minister within Israel, not successive years. He had years in between where he was not serving, but starting in the 90s to the present, the longest serving with some intermittent where he was not. Reminds me a little bit, and now he's struggling to keep his position, reminds me a little bit, Great Britain didn't re-elect Winston Churchill.
That's right. After he won,
World War II.
after Britain was on the brink of being destroyed, he saves them, and he was rewarded by the British people
and
by being thrown out of office.
I sense the same thing might be happening here.
Part of it, quite honestly, is just a reality. People get tired of anybody as a leader, and they want to change. I mean, that just happens. People want to change. I think that's part of it with Netanyahu, and also really, that political tricks that are being played against Donald Trump, the same thing is happening. It's uncanny. The parallel between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Donald Trump, the lies that are being stated about both of them. And it's done very specifically and intentionally to cripple them so they can't govern. Because people who prefer an anti-biblical agenda don't want people to succeed who are advancing a biblical agenda. That's about the extent of it. This is unprecedented, what's happening in Israel. Israel, you know, is 71 years old, the modern Jewish state. Mm-hmm. It is not good when a nation has no government. Realize there is no functioning government in Israel today. That may explain why there's so much tension and aggression in the Middle East right now, why Iran every day is saying, I want to fight, I want to fight. I've never seen Iran itch for a fight more than they are today. And it's because they see an unstable Israel with no government at the head. Can you imagine how great it would be for Iran to have a war right now when they have said that their goal is to annihilate the Jewish state? In fact, it was just stated in the last few months by the Ayatollahs in Iran that they know that Israel will be destroyed, genocide. So that remains the goal of the Ayatollahs. That's a satanic goal. That's why it's important, I think, for your listeners to continue in prayer. I want to thank them for praying for the last two elections. It's been a draw. Both times. The first time Netanyahu barely won. This time, President Rivlin chose Netanyahu to form a coalition government, and they haven't been successful. In the last election, the only meeting that was held at the Knesset was the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. I serve as the co-chair of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. We had believers in Israel during that time, and we were in the Knesset. We met with the Speaker of the House. We met with members of Parliament. The only event that happened was prayer for Israel. Can you imagine that? This is reality now. Was prayer from believers for Israel, for the Jewish people, and for a successful putting together coalition. Again, this is where we need to be, is on our knees right now to pray that there will be godly government. I'm not saying who people should pray for, but to pray that God's government would be formed in Israel. It's a key time, just as we pray for our own government and other governments around the world. This is a key time when Christians can intercede and have a real impact.
I want to say there is a war on the horizon in the Middle East. It's called Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39. We don't know the timing of that war. Is it any day? And it could be. Or is it early stages of the tribulation? It could be. But Iran is the major player. Russia, Turkey, Iran are the three major players. You can read that in Ezekiel 38:39. Mir Sarfati talked a little bit about that in his message at Understanding the Times 2019 back on September 21st. So when we see this activity in the Middle East, when we see armies on the move, as they literally are in the Middle East, my goodness, Saudi Arabia was attacked, folks. That's no small thing that a nation would have the audacity to attack the nation.
It wasn't just attacked, if I could jump in.
Yeah.
It was a proxy. In other, it was Iran who did the
attack.
They did it because they hired other people to do the attack for them. But what did they attack? They attacked the number one oil-producing depot in Saudi Arabia. 5% of the world's oil supply was knocked out in that one strike. It was a drone strike, and it was accomplished by Iran. Yemen wasn't able to do that. Iran did it. This shows they are serious. And again, they are spoiling for a fight.
Yeah.
Iran wants a fight because history dictates that this fight will come. And we are here, even as you and I are having this conversation, watching these events play out. And God will have his way. He is sovereign. But again, the most powerful thing your audience can do is to pray. Pray according to God's word. And that's one thing that I'm encouraging believers to do all across America and across the world. Pray according to Scripture. Read the Scripture. Pray according to the Scripture. And we see the most miraculous results when we have that combination.
And you are doing that with your Jerusalem prayer breakfast. And whenever I hear from you, Michelle, you're literally in another foreign country representing Israel. The vehicle seems to be the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, and you're getting into countries you never thought you would. You told me a little bit about the Netherlands, and that was the seat, almost the seat of Satan as it concerns anti-Semitism, and now you've got a foothold in there.
Yeah, that's right. We held a Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast at The Hague, and that is the center of world judicial law. So the legal system from the UN isn't in New York, it's in The Hague. The intention is one world government, one world economy, one world religion. And so we went to The Hague and we held a Jerusalem prayer breakfast and we saw miracles. It was tremendous opposition, but this is what happened. We saw the King of the Netherlands honor the Israeli ambassador in the very building that Hitler's representative announced the final solution against the Jews. So the greatest warrant for the death of the Jews was stated in the same building that the King of the Netherlands instead honored the Jewish ambassador. But then the King of the Netherlands and the Netherlands government made a profound decision that day that they would give tens of millions of dollars in reparations money to the descendants of the Holocaust and to the Holocaust survivors themselves. Because as the German regent in Netherlands said, Netherlands had the highest percentage of Jews killed in World War II. 85% of all Jews were killed because of the efficiency of the Netherlands railway system. Instead, we saw a miracle happen at the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast where the government decided to give back those tens of millions. And the government also said, we have 16,000 pieces of stolen artwork stolen by the Nazis from the Jews. The Netherlands government committed to reuniting that artwork, some of which hung in the royal palace, with its rightful owners, the Jewish people. And the Palestinians made an announcement. Every week they held a demonstration to advance boycott, divestment, sanction, economic genocide of Israel. They made an announcement they would discontinue those demonstrations. We saw tremendous miracles happen, and that's because God's people came together and prayed according to the scripture for the peace of Jerusalem, that Jerusalem would be established as a praise in the earth. And we are literally watching the Lord do this all over the world. whether it's an African country, a Central American country, doesn't matter where the location, we're seeing miracles. I just returned from Finland on the day of your
conference.
So unfortunately, I missed your conference, but we came back from the Helsinki Jerusalem prayer breakfast, where there's a rise of anti-Semitism, and we brought believers together to pray against it. The first Nordic country to do that, by the way, that hadn't been done before, that was right after The Hague. Now I'm leaving to go to London, and I'll be going there for a Jerusalem prayer breakfast. There's tremendous anti-Semitism in the United Kingdom, so we'll be praying there as well. And we'll be praying for Israel, of course, and the Jewish people. I've been doing that at the same time I've been now almost 3 years at the United Nations meeting with ambassadors. So really, they're kind of
bring us an update on your UN work. You've met with almost 100 ambassadors.
Yes.
And I'm sure they're spiritually lost. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. But almost everyone, I ask if I can pray for them, if I can pray for their country and for the mission in New York City. Almost without exception, they let me pray for them, even Muslim ambassadors.
Really?
I've gone to, in fact, it seems like I've gone to more Muslim nations than almost anyone else. And that's an unusual thing to walk in the door and ask them if I can pray. But I pray with them. One of the ambassadors, we had a very long conversation. I was able to pray with him and lead him to Christ. And it was remarkable how the Lord opened that door. These are fruitful meetings, but I also believe that the prayer is very fruitful, what happens in those meetings. So I meet at the UN. We have ongoing Bible studies. We have ongoing teaching that we bring into the UN. We're trying to bring biblical teaching to the ambassadors from these different nations. And that works hand in hand with the work that we're trying to do to bring a biblical, which is a pro-Israel perspective, to the UN. But also, we're going around to the nations to meet with the leaders in their countries, members of various parliaments and congresses, but also people on the ground, normal people, Bible-believing people who want to come together in country after country to begin the process in their own country of blessing Israel, blessing the Jewish people, asking for God's will to be done in their nation so that their nation turns its heart toward Israel and the Jewish people. In our country, in America, we've been singularly blessed because we have a president that loves Israel and the Jewish people, and it, as you've talked about, has recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and established an embassy. America's the leader. We've led on Israel, and that's why we're uniquely blessed in all the world, because of the way that we have blessed. And that's why we are going into these nations to say, you can have this blessing too. God isn't just a God for America or a Western civilization God. He is for all nations. Joel chapter 3. Read Joel chapter 3, 1 through 3. Read Matthew 25, 31, 33. Jesus reiterates what the prophet Joel wrote, and it is an end time teaching. Jesus's words are about end time prophecy, and he is speaking to the nations that the nations need to come into alignment with his will for Israel so that the nations would be blessed. So they're a sheep nation, not a goat nation.
As a matter of fact, this was part of my message, my personal message at my conference back on September 21st, at the time when the world is coming against Israel. Anti-Semitism is off the charts.
Off the charts. Here in Minneapolis, it is off the charts.
Synagogue was burned down in Duluth.
In Duluth. And arsonist. We have the spokesman for anti-Semitism as the congresswoman for this very city.
That's right. Ilhan Omar.
That's right.
So at the time when all this evil is converging, at the same time, great things for the kingdom and for the cause of Israel are happening. So there's a convergence, but there's a struggle going on.
It is. I mean, think of this dichotomy in Iran that seeks the death of all Jews. In Iran, that is the greatest revival in the world now of Muslims who are coming to know Jesus Christ, and it is real. That's where we never despair, because I'm personally witnessing miracles in country after country that I'm going to, where we're on site with Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. I also see it in New York City at the UN, where just this last week with the UN week, as we spoke earlier in this program, we saw a miracle where the whole focus of the entire year was to advance this one world religion of climate change. It fell on its face. And instead, what was lifted up was to put a focus on religious persecution, particularly of Christians. It's like, who could have ever thought that would happen? But the miracle did. And that's why We pray. If there's anything that I have been convinced of since I have left Congress, it is the power of prayer. And the power of prayer when you pray scripture into a situation and miracles happen. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
So how can my listeners pray for you? Now, I know for a fact that just the physical toll, what kind of a toll is taken just from the travel, from the stress, from the kind of schedule that you've been keeping for the last 3 years. How can my audience pray for you?
Well, I would ask them to pray for wisdom and understanding for my schedule, to know what I should say yes to and what I should say no to. I'm sensing that my emphasis needs to focus more on prayer. I am also the chairman of the board of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. I feel very strongly a sense of urgency to gather believers together from across the United States and the world to pray about this deception and what's going to happen between now and 2020. I think there is a real effort to steal these elections and to see ignorance grow and deception grow. So I want to work on that effort to bring people together on a regular basis for prayer for what's going to happen in our world in the next 18 months or so. But also, I'm continuing with the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast to go to country after country to bring believers together. The work at the UN will continue also. I can't be everywhere, and so I have to decide where I need to be. And also, I have a family that is now all the children are grown and gone. We are grandparents. We're about to be grandparents for the third time. So this baby's right around the corner. And I need to have time also to focus on our children, our adult children, our grandchildren. I need to have that personal time too. And I have literally, Jan, been somewhere else besides home these last few years. I've been just going like crazy. I need to have some time at home too. But we need other believers too to be stepping up as they are to be doing what God is calling them to do. All of us need to have our hand on the plowshare right now. I know you are constantly at work. Your team is at work. And I want to encourage, this isn't the time just to lollygag. This is really the time, I believe, in biblical history, the most exciting time.
Amen.
The time that the prophets long to live in.
They long
we get
for
to
it.
Watch prophecy unfold in front of our eyes. And so this is the time to engage.
Right.
And if you're older and you can't really leave your house, there is no more relevant time to be in prayer. It's right in front of our eyes. Ask God to show you. Trust me, he will show you. The prayer is obvious in front of our eyes.
Good. One more foreign policy question I want to throw at you because, and we talked a little bit about it, and I noticed that as soon as John Bolton was off the scene, we had huge problems in the Middle East going back again to Saudi Arabia and the attack on her oil fields and all. And you and I were kind of fans of John Bolton, appreciated a little bit of his hawkish stance on things and think he was a valuable addition to the administration. He's gone. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I love John Bolton. Mm-hmm. He was a great national security advisor. Mm-hmm. I am really sad that he is gone. As these things work out, I think John Bolton may have, I don't know, I'm speculating. He may have been more on the camp of militarily taking on Iran. And
you're probably
right. I don't think the president wanted to go down that route. Yeah. I think he's really tired of Middle East wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think he wanted to go down that route. It may be, in hindsight, that the president made the right decision to not attack Iran. And I say that because Iran is begging. It's like they're turning their cheeks saying, hit me, hit me. Because they want a fight. They want a World War III. I don't understand all their reasoning. But it's clear every single day Iran is wanting a fight with the United States. And I think that sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. I actually think that maybe the president is calling it right on this by not engaging them right now. I could be wrong, and I don't know why John Bolton left. I have no inside knowledge at all, but I'm only speculating that may be why he's gone. But we need to pray that the next national security advisor is really good. In other words, that he's in the same pattern as John Bolton.
And then where do you see this impeachment going? I mean, how far do you think they're going to carry this?
Well, listen, what Mike Huckabee said is right. They just want to have a false pretense of a reason to have an impeachment. The power is in Nancy Pelosi's hand to impeach Trump. All she needs is 218 votes.
That's right.
And she has the majority vote. She has more than 218 Democrats. Now, will they vote to impeach? I actually think they will, because if one goes, they'll all go. I've watched them. I've been there. I've been on the floor with them. They do everything as a group. So I think they will vote to impeach the president because Democrat politicians have been on TV saying, look, we can't beat this guy. And why should they? He's done more for the economy and foreign policy and for religious issues than any other president in modern time. And he did that in 2 years. They can't win. He's done more for blacks and Hispanic and kids and women than any other president's ever done. They can't win. And so I think they figure they can cripple him by impeaching him and make him be ashamed. I still think that's part of mocking and scoffing because God is going to have his way. That's where I think we pray. That's where we come in. We pray. So I think, honestly, I never would have thought they would impeach him, but I think they're so absolutely out of control,
they're
lost
out of
their
control.
Minds.
Absolutely.
That I think they're going to impeach him and think this is normal.
Yep.
And I think they're going to be shocked when they lose because the American people aren't dumb. And it's really disgusting and rude what these leftists are doing. They're the most selfish people I've ever seen. They don't care if the country goes down.
No, they
do not.
In fact,
they've been hoping we'll have a recession. They want the economy to go bad so they can blame Trump. Can you believe that? There's real people out here living lives, and they want the country to go bad so Trump will lose.
It's satanic.
It's
satanic
just delusional.
Yeah.
It's delusional. Yeah. It's deceptive. And your audience is smart, and we're saying don't fall for it. Because these creeps may actually go through with this and impeach, but at the end of the day, it's the Lord God himself who's going to have the last say. And I'm not just talking politics here. He is going to have his say on the times because our times are in his hands.
Our times are in his hands. Folks, I close with that verse all the time. I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. Michelle Bachman, thank you for stopping by the studio today and giving us a wonderful update.
Your dear friend.
We appreciate
it
so much. Thank you.
On behalf of your audience.
Thank you.
We love you. We thank you. I travel all over the world. There isn't one country I go to, not one, where people don't say, I love hearing you on Jan's show.
Thank you. Folks, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
Our thanks to Michelle Bachman for sharing with the Understanding the Times radio audience several times a year and for bringing insight that is provocative and challenging, thanks to her years in public office. If you find our programming helpful and insightful, write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can always call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Check out our conference products from our annual event back on September 21st. Over 300,000 have now viewed Understanding the Times 2019 on our website and on our YouTube channel. Each week, we're here to encourage you to look up and know our redemption draws nigh.